I want to discuss a theoretically interesting question which has a number of practical ramifications too about Hiddur Mitzvah, the idea of doing mitzvahs more beautifully. That is the question. Normally, Hiddur Mitzvah means, let's say I have two esrogs. I have a basic kosher one and I have one that is more beautiful. I have a choice which one to take. I take the one that is better, nicer. What if I've already done the mitzvah? So this morning I've taken an esrog. A few hours later I happen to come across another esrog which is even nicer. So is there a mitzvah to take the second one? I was ready out to the mitzvah. I already fulfilled the mitzvah in the morning. I'm done. But now I have the chance to do it again in a nicer way. Is there any point in doing that? So this question was raised by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, father of the modern brisk analytic method of learning, a legendarily acute thinker. He said no. He argued that Hiddur mitzvah only makes sense when you're doing the mitzvah for the first time, so you're doing the mitzvah. If you do it in a way which is nicer and better, that's good. That's preferred. Once you're ready to fulfill the mitzvah, you're done. There's no more mitzvah. Your obligation has terminated. There's no mitzvah anymore. There's no point. It's like a lemon. So there's no point. Once you have fulfilled the mitzvah, basic kosher b'di'eved, there is no point, there is no significance to trying to do it again with an esrog that is more beautiful. Now, Rav Chaim's comment is probably the most famous one on the subject, but the truth is, there is considerable debate over the matter. Rav Chaim's own father, Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the first, the author of the Beis Halevi, actually said that for a long time he was actually not sure at this point. He was not sure whether it makes sense to try to do a mitzvah again, to do it in a way that is more mehudr, that is nicer. Maybe not, like Rav Chaim said, maybe yes. Maybe you'll do it again, you'll do the mitzvah a second time, and this time it'll be nicer. Maybe you can do it. So he actually was not sure about this question. Now, a number of the authorities, including the Beis Halevi, as well as the Binyan Shlomo, and Rav Tzvi Petzer Frank, and the Mekorei Kodesh, they bring a dispute between the Rambam and the Torah about another matter, which they say might be analogous. This is a question about Mila. The halacha is Mila, circumcision. The mitzvah is to cut off a certain portion of tissue from that part of the body. So certain parts are mandatory. It's sine qua non of the mitzvah of Mila. You have to cut them off. If you don't, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. There's other tissue that are called tzitzin shein makvinas on Mila, certain tissue which is kind of optional, discretionary. You fulfill the mitzvah either way. Ideally, you should remove that tissue too. So normally, a mohel who is competent will remove all the appropriate tissue. Let's say he hasn't. He did the Mila once, he missed something, then an hour later he goes back, he looks at the baby again, and he realized there was some tissue he really should have removed. So the circumcision is valid, they were yotzei the mitzvah, but ideally he should have taken off more. So should he go back, on a regular weekday, should he go back and do it again? Forget Shabbos, which is a more complicated question, but actually it's a simpler question. Shabbos, the answer is no, but the question is during the week, where there's no question of the laws of Shabbos, should he go back and start again and remove more tissue? This is a machlokas apparently between the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam says, no, don't bother, there's no point. And the Tur says, yes, you should. So a number of Rachronim suggest this is really this question of Rav Chaim and the Beis Halevi, that the Rambam says, no, the Rambam has the perspective of Rav Chaim. You've done the mitzvah's finished, there's no more mitzvah. So whatever you do now is pointless, is meaningless. You only get one shot to do a mitzvah, do it as best as you can the first time around. Whatever you do afterward is not the mitzvah, so there's no point in trying to rectify any optional components of the mitzvah that you left out. And the Torah said, no, you always get a second bite at the apple. You're always allowed to try to do the mitzvah again if you want to do it in a better way. And therefore the Torah says that, yes, you actually should try to remove more tissue the second time around. There are a couple of other cases that the post can discuss where, again, somewhat practical cases, post can debate whether there's any sense, is there any meaning to trying to do a mitzvah again in a more ideal fashion. The Binyan Shlomo brings a case of someone who we light, on Hanukkah, we light one candle the first night, two the second night, three the third night, and so on. So let's say it's the eighth night of Hanukkah, you need a lot of oil, many candles, and you don't have enough. You only have one. So you're yotzei the mitzvah, you fulfill the basic requirement by even one. We're well off. We usually have enough oil and candles, so we normally do it the ideal way, which is to light eight on the eighth night, but if you only have one, so light one and you're done. So let's say somebody lights one candle, one cup of oil on the eighth night, and an hour later he finds more oil. Should he add additional candles? So many poskim say yes, beginning with the Beis Yosef, citing some of the early sources, and then later Achronim, the Mishneh Berurah. Many Achronim say a person should go back and light more. The Binyan Shlomo says that's really the same question. He says you really owe to the mitzvah. As soon as you lit that one candle and you're done, and you put your shamash down and you said an eres halalu, you're finished. Mitzvah is fulfilled. There is no more mitzvah. The mitzvah obligation has been erased from you. And therefore, nothing you do now has any... I mean, it's nice. It's like having a Hanukkah party. You can always celebrate Hanukkah. But the point is, in terms of technical fulfillment of the mitzvah, you haven't... You're not doing anything anymore. But the halacha is not like that. Most of the consensus of the Achronim is that you should light additional candles to do the mitzvah mahadrin, to light the ideal number of candles. Binyan Shlomo argues that you see from that you can still add, you can still try to improve your performance of a mitzvah even after you fulfill the baseline mitzvah. It's still appropriate, it's still meaningful to try to continue to do the mitzvah in a better way, to improve on it for a second go around, even though you already did it once. There is another interesting case that Post can talk about. This involves Megillah. The halacha is that, you know, we know in Israel today that all of us in Chutz La'aretz and many or most of us in Israel listen to the Megillah and celebrate Purim on the 14th of Adar. In Yerushalayim, in certain cities, most notably Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah on the 15th. And the rule is that a city that had a wall in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun celebrates and reads on the 15th, and by default, all other cities celebrate Purim and read the Megillah on the 14th, which again, in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora, is the universal custom. So there were certain cities where the history was lost in the mist of time, that they didn't actually know whether there had been a wall in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's called a safek, a classic case of doubt in halacha. So what should people, inhabitants of such a city, when should they read the Megillah? So there are different opinions. The ruling of the Rambam is that they read the Megillah twice, once on the 14th and once again on the 15th. And the Rambam says they make the bracha, the blessing on Megillah, they do on the 14th, because that's kind of the standard day, the default day. Most cities read on that day, so they read with a blessing on the 14th. But on the 15th, which is not the normal day, which is at best a safek, they read without a bracha. So some people object to the Rambam. They say, look, we know the normal rule is, whenever we have a doubt, we never make a bracha. Anytime you have some doubt, you do the mitzvah. You want to try to do the mitzvah as best as you can, but if there's really an element of doubt, you don't make a bracha. So they say, so what is this idea that we make a bracha on the 14th? If we really don't know, if we honestly don't know whether it's the 14th or the 15th, we should read both days without a bracha. And if we're convinced that the 14th is the right day, so we make a bracha, we shouldn't bother reading on the 15th. So there are different ways to understand this Rambam. Some poskim, apparently the Gaon of Vilna, understand the Rambam to mean, it's true that historically, as a matter of historical fact, there is a doubt as to whether this city had a wall or not. So we actually don't know. However, since the 14th is the standard day to read Megillah, everyone can be Yotze B'di'eved. Everyone, push comes to shove, anyone who reads on the 14th is Yotze B'di'eved. So you can make a bracha on the 14th, despite the fact that it might not be the ideal day, because, again, when it comes to B'di'eved, when it comes to the bare minimum baseline performance of the mitzvah, you will be Yotze by reading on the 14th. So the question then arises, so if you were Vada Yotze on the 14th, if you definitely were Yotze beyond the shadow of a doubt on the 14th, it might not have been ideal. Ideal might be the 15th. But if you certainly were Yotze, so what are you doing on the 15th? You're reading it again because the 15th might be suffix. We don't know. The 15th might be the ideal day. But you're already Yotze on the 14th. You made a bracha on the 14th. If you're already Yotze, who said that it means anything to go? Maybe it's like taking an asterisk after your Yotze, a nicer asterisk after your Yotze, the first asterisk. You're reading on a better day, a more ideal day, after you already read it once. The Rambam apparently felt, according to this understanding, that it is meaningful, it does make sense to still try to do a mitzvah again. It's not a question of aesthetically nicer, but in a more ideal or a more appropriate day, it still makes sense to try again to read the Megillah in the ideal way, even though you did it once already. It's still, there's still a point in doing it again. One further case where this comes up is, the halacha is, we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We blow several variations of the basic set of tkiah, shvarim, trua, tkiah. So first we blow tkiah, shvarim, trua, tkiah. Then we blow tkiah, shvarim, tkiah. Then we blow tkiah, trua, tkiah. Shvarim, trua is the three long ones, and then the nine or more short ones. Then we blow tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, which is just the three short ones. And then we blow tkiah, trua, tkiah, which is the short dashes. So we do that because there's some doubt, or there are different opinions about what the ideal way to blow a trua is, what the correct way to blow a trua is. Some say it's shvarim trua, some say it's shvarim, some say it's trua. So we want to do everything. We want to fulfill all the opinions, so we blow all three variations. So the Gemara actually raises an interesting question. The Gemara says a Shvarim Trua really contains within it both Shvarim and Trua. It's both together. So why can't you just blow Shvarim Trua to fulfill all the opinions? I have a Shvarim Trua. I have a Shvarim in the beginning. I have a Trua in the end. If I blow Shvarim Trua, why can't that fulfill all three requirements? So the Gemara says, because if the correct one is just Shvarim, then Trua is a Hefzik. You're blowing extraneous noise that's not part of the mitzvah, so that would constitute a Hefzik, an interruption between the different things that you need to blow. We don't want to do that. So therefore we blow separately, Shvarim Trua, and then Shvarim, and then Trua. So some Rishonim learned that this idea of Hefzik is only L'chatchila. It's only an idea of doing the mitzvah the ideal way. But the Eved, again, baseline, bare minimum performance of the mitzvah, even if you made these hefsiks, even if you added extraneous shofar noises in, your yotzei, the basic minimum either way. So as soon as you blow, and we know we blow Shvarim Trua first. So as soon as you blow Shvarim Trua, you've really already fulfilled the mitzvah, according to all opinions. Whether the ideal blowing is Shvarim Trua, whether the ideal blowing is Shvarim, whether the ideal blowing is Trua, it doesn't matter. The Ikra Din, the Eved, according to the strict basic requirement of the law, you have fulfilled the mitzvah according to all opinions. So why then do we blow more Shvarim and Trua? Because ideally you should blow without any hefzik. So we see again, this point is made by the Eretz Tzvi, Rav Ramer, Kozhik Lover, that even if you have fulfilled a mitzvah in its basic b'di'evit performance, if there is still a way to do it and to do it better, to go back and do a do-over and do it again, this time in the most ideal format, you should do it. You should do it despite the fact that you've already been yotzei, you've already fulfilled the bare minimum once. Now he does propose an alternate theory, which would again cover many of these cases. He does propose that maybe the idea is that when you blow the Shvarim Trua, you have in mind, you contemplate, you say to yourself as follows: if Shvarim Trua is ideal, I want to be yotzei now, and everything else I'm doing, you know, will be superfluous. But if Shvarim Trua is not ideal, I don't want to be yotzei at all. I just don't want to be yotzei. I want to wait. I want this to be void, and I'll be yotzei in 30 seconds from now when I blow Shvarim. So if you deliberately have in mind that you don't want it to work, if the later one is ideal, then that's fine. Then you weren't yotzei the mitzvah yet. And in that case, you know, many of the cases we discussed, if you know in advance you're going to have this problem that you're going to want to do, if you have two esrogim, for example, you're not sure one is kosher and one is more mehudar, and you want to do both, what you would do is you can take one and have in mind, if this is kosher, if the other one is kosher, I don't want to be yotzei with this one, I want to wait till I take the next one, which is more mehudar. If the other one is not kosher, then I want to be yotzei with this one, which is kosher according to all opinions.